Hey there, this is Brad Geiger welcoming you to another episode of Hey Comics Kids, a podcast that I record along with my 13-year-old son Alex and my 10-year-old Max during our drive to school. Hey, if you like this show, please consider becoming a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/HeyComicsKids. You can support us for as little as $1 per episode, and you can set a cap on your account so you never get charged for more than what you're comfortable with. All the money goes directly to the kids, and they can spend it however they want to. So sit back, relax, and let's get this show on the road.
And we're back. It's another episode of Hey Comics Kids. Boys, did I tell you that we're in our third season?
Oh my God.
Yeah, we are we're officially into our third season. We've had a little break there while we caught up with some school stuff, but we're back and we got a lot of catching up to do. You guys have been busy. We've got a bunch of topics. First, let's start with what's in the news, and we don't have to spend a lot of time with these, but I just want to get your reaction. First up, Marvel Comics has announced that it's going to discontinue the Fantastic Four comic book and all Fantastic Four toys and merchandise.
You can't do that. Like, the Fantastic Fours would have brought them out of the grave.
If you go into your Marvel history, yes.
You can't do that to the Fantastic Four.
Do you know why they're doing it?
Yeah, because Sony keeps ruining their freaking movies.
Basically, yes. The last couple of movies, and Sony owns the movie rights to the Fantastic Four.
Who thought it was a good idea to make Dr. Doom an angry blogger? I have a lot of problems with that. Seriously.
LOL.
Well, I'm sure it seemed like a good idea to somebody at the time. But basically, Marvel said to Sony, either sell us back the movie rights, or we're just going to discontinue putting our money into this property, because the more money we put into the Fantastic Four, says Marvel, the more money we lose, because then you do another crappy movie, and now nobody wants the Fantastic Four. Nobody wants their toys, nobody certainly wants a Fantastic Four video game.
So, Marvel's boycotting its own, property?
I wouldn't call it a boycott. What they're doing, it's actually very smart. They're saying, listen, the Fantastic Four has a value, okay? And what that is, it's like any other commodity. You put money into it, you invest in it, and you hope that it rises in value. So you put a little bit of money into it, it rises in value, and then you can sell stuff based on the property for a higher price or more of it.
And anyway, it's going to take years until people forget about how horrible the Fantastic Four movie is.
Well, that's exactly
until
right.
They can, make another one and be like, hey, you remember that bad Fantastic Four movie? Oh, yeah, Jim, that was 5 years ago. We can do something else. We can see this new one. Maybe it's a little better.
So let's look at it from Marvel's point of view. Let's say that you put $100 into building the brand of the Fantastic Four. And let's say you use that $100 to put out some comic books and some toys. $50 for comic books, $50 for toys.
All right.
And the money that you invested meant that people were going to buy the comic books for $5 a piece and the toys for $10 a piece. And there was enough people buying comics and toys that your $100 investment was getting you $300 back by the time you made your profits. You're spending $100, but you're making $200. You with me so far?
Yeah.
Now, let's say that for an extra $25 that you spent 5 years ago, you sold the movie rights to the Fantastic Four. They put out two horrible... Actually, how many horrible Fantastic Four movies have there been?
All of them.
Three? The first two, and then this reboot, which was a failure. So three horrible Fantastic Four movies.
Oh, yeah, because there's the one old one, the two ones that had to do with Dr. Doom and Silver Surfer, And then the most recent one, right?
Right.
Not including The Incredibles.
Three, which was the best Fantastic Four movie, which unfortunately I don't think Marvel made any money on. Sony comes in, puts out three horrible movies, and now that $100 that you're putting out into Fantastic Four stuff is not bringing you back $200 anymore. In fact, you're barely making your money back. You made about $105.
You're only getting money from those diehard fans or kids who didn't watch the movie.
Right, and the diehard fans are dying off, and the kids are where your growth is, because they're going to be the diehard fans of tomorrow. If you're Marvel, you're going to say, listen, the only way for me to go back to making money on my investment is to drive the value of this property so far down that Sony will have to sell it. In other words, the only people putting money into the Fantastic Four that comes back as any kind of a return is Marvel. And their return is getting hurt more and more by the Sony Pictures. So what they're doing is they're actively driving the value of their property down so that eventually Sony Pictures will, just looking at the bottom line, they're going to say, oh, well, geez, we got to sell this. It has no value. The only people putting value into it is Marvel.
Yeah.
If they want to buy it back and increase its value, they have to first take its value to zero. When they do that, it's going to take a few years to do that, because Sony's going to be kind of, you know, onto them.
They'll be like, oh, no way we're going to do this. And then 5 years later, when the selling or the use of the Fantastic Four rights goes down to zero, Marvel's going to come and be like, hey, remember that Fantastic Four thing and you didn't sell it to us? Well, you're not making any money from that, so give it back to us and we won't have to, like, deal with this.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And then Sony eventually will sell the movie rights back because it has no value. And then Marvel can come back and, in a brilliant stroke of marketing, they can come back and re-release the Fantastic Four. If this goes for 5, even 10 years, think of how exciting it'll be after 10 years of no Fantastic Four comics or merchandise, and they say, guess who's back? It's the Fantastic Four. People will lose their minds.
It's like saying the Suicide Squad is back.
It'll be nostalgia for all of us old farts. And you'll be older at that point. You'll have the nostalgia feeling at that point. And for the young people, they're going to be, what's this thing called the Fantastic Four? And if Marvel does it right, it's a great hook. Fantastic Four is a lasting story. Marvel does it right, they'll hook those young readers, and they will have something that they can, once again, market like crazy.
And then, and say their parents aren't reading the Fantastic Four for some reason, and like the kids are getting hooked, if their parents aren't reading it, and like the kid, then the parents will say, okay, my son or daughter, they realize this, I'm gonna see this, and nine out of 10 doctors agree that they're gonna like it.
So the Fantastic Four going away in the Marvel Marvel storyline. I think this took place during the recent Secret Wars storyline, and basically Reed, Sue, and the gang just kind of go off to another dimension to be just normal people. They don't want to be superheroes anymore. Reed wants to concentrate on being a better husband and a good father, and they all are going to pretty much, yeah, we've had our share of adventuring.
Wait, what about Human Torch and Ben Grimm?
Everybody. Everybody just kind of traipses off into that other dimension where they're going to hang out for a little while.
Wow.
Little pocket dimension.
How do you hang out and be normal as the Thing?
Well, I don't know.
They can tone him back, remember? Like, Reed Richards has
fun. That was only in Secret Wars, unless they're going to the uninhabited, well, kind of inhabited Secret Wars planet. I don't know.
Well, unfortunately, there's lots of story possibilities there, none of which we will hear.
Darn.
Because they will not be doing any stories.
They should, like, bring it back and then do, like, a lost episode thing when they run out of ideas.
Mm-hmm. So, Batman versus Superman. I'm told, from what I read, it was not a box office failure. In fact, they had pretty strong box office, from what I keep reading. However, it sounds as if the fans hated it.
Yeah.
A critical failure, a box office, I don't know if I'd say success, but definitely strong box office.
The only reason I think it's a box office success is because the people who are excited about it watched it thinking it's going to be, oh my god, they like made a movie version of Dark Knight Returns. This is going to be so awesome. I love the book.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going there expecting to see, like, a movie version of Dark Knight Returns. And they find, they're like in the middle of it and it's like, what the heck is this crap? And they're like, oh my gosh, this movie is so horrible. I need to tell all my friends that it's so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
All their friends hear, oh, my friend said this is really horrible. I have to check this out. And then a bunch of people who heard that it's so horrible need to see it for themselves and then spend money on the movie.
So, and I think that's a good point. My question to you, Max, is this. So let's say what Alex says is true, that the strong box office was from people who wanted this to be a good movie and came out disappointed.
It's like watching Plan 9 from Outer Space, even though you know it's horrible.
Well, that might not be the best analogy. It might be like going in hoping to see the Avengers and coming out realizing that you saw Plan 9 from Outer Space. However, the big question in my mind is, does this mean the end of the franchise? In other words, BVS was supposed to usher in the Justice League movie. In fact, that was one of the main complaints, as it tried to do way too much in the time that they had. But Batman vs. Superman was supposed to bring us the beginning of a Justice League movie franchise. Movie did okay in the box office. Fans hated it. What do you watch now for a clue as to whether there is going to be a Justice League movie, or whether DC, in the same way Marvel says we're not going to keep throwing good money after bad, whether DC says, you know what, this is not going to work, we're going to lose money on it, we're not going to do a Justice League movie after all. What numbers do you watch for a clue as to which way they're going to jump, Max?
Well, I just wanted to say that, like, I'm gonna say a spoiler that one of my friends told me, just like I knew I wasn't gonna be seeing it anytime soon. Like, at most we'd wait for it to come out on Netflix or just rent the DVD if we really, really wanted to see it, like if everyone wanted to see it.
Right. So.
But like, so, by the way, spoiler alert, just right now, so like, so if you haven't seen this, we don't want to spoil you.
Right.
But like, so I looked and I saw that in the Justice League movie, they killed Superman. Like, Superman got killed off. So what I think is that now the Justice League, that's why I'm going to make the Justice League, since the Justice League is going to, everyone in the Justice League is going to now think, oh, big guns are down. We need a team to save the Earth because since Superman's down, he can't be juggling when he's juggling everything. Like he's been juggling, like, saving the world from point A to point B. Now he's been helping us all out. Now, all that he's dead, we need to find a way to do what he had been doing.
I think you're absolutely right. Story-wise, there's a real strong story reason to do a Justice League movie. But is there an economic reason? Alex, I'm going to throw it to you. Knowing that movie box office ticket sales is only part of how they're going to make their money on their investment, what else do you watch to see for clues on the health of this franchise?
Well, I would either watch, like, the Suicide Squad to see if I can find any clues, or I would watch the TV shows because the TV show seemed to be bringing Flash and Green Arrow and a bunch of others together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Here's my thoughts. I think you watch the merchandising. You watch how well the Batman versus Superman toys, t-shirts, lunchboxes, video games, all of that, all the movie tie-in stuff, you watch to see how strong that stuff sells. If they got strong merchandising behind decent box office sales, they'll be able to tell themselves, yep, we could do a Justice League movie. If the merchandising for this movie tanks and the box office was good, but there was a negative fan reaction, so you gotta start wondering, with all that negative fan reaction, are they going to come out for the next movie because they didn't like the first one? Like you said, they came in hoping for the Avengers. They came out realizing they watched Plan 9 from Outer Space. Are you going to get fooled twice? Maybe not. So you look at the merchandising. If the merchandising is strong, I think, in my opinion, we're going to see a Justice League movie. If the merchandising isn't, then you may see them take Justice League off the list. And they're going to say, you know what, we're going to put our money behind something else instead of something that's going to either bring us low returns or bring us negative returns. What do you think about that, Max?
Well, So I was kind of zoned down. Just give it to Al.
What do you think about that, Alex?
I'm not exactly sure.
Boy, I must have bored you both. Okay, going on. Let's go to something that has a little less economics in it and a little more fun. We have been getting great... Speaking of value, here's a better transition. Speaking of value, we've been getting a big value out of Netflix.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of great stuff coming out on Netflix.
And Hulu.
You know what I hate about Hulu? I spend almost the same amount of money on Hulu that I spend on Netflix, except when I watch stuff on Netflix, no commercials. I don't get how I'm spending money for Hulu Plus and I'm still sitting through commercials. I'll be honest with you, that's why as soon as you guys tell me that you're not watching anything on Hulu, we're getting rid of it. But Netflix, whom I love, has been coming out with a lot of great stuff. And oh, and by the way, Netflix is going up $1 a month. I don't even care. You know why? No commercials.
Well, in some things in Hulu, there are no commercials.
Nah, not enough. Nothing that I watch, let's put it that way. So.
Well, it's stuff that we watch, and you never watch Hulu anyway.
I don't. You know why? Commercials. Sat down to watch something on Hulu, and after the third commercial in a row, realized that I didn't want to watch the dang thing anymore, turned it off and booted up Netflix and found something good.
You know, Netflix, the only thing that's better than that has Hulu better than Netflix?
What?
The anime.
Yeah. Okay, the anime selections are probably better.
Better anime selections. I mean, take Fairy Tail for example.
Well, okay. Take Fairy Tail for example. Have you been watching that?
Yes.
What's it about?
It's about a very long story.
Condense it, because we're not that far from school.
Okay, so, people have magic-y powers, and they are in a guild, like, very fairy tale.
What's
roll credits-ish. What?
What are they trying to do with their lives?
They're, like, either fighting other guilds, doing quests, or, like, battling, like, dark guilds that are kind of, like,
keeps
evil.
Bringing you back episode after episode.
It's hilarious, and it's occasionally very, very funny. It's very well written.
Maybe I'll have to watch it. I have to admit, I haven't been following the anime so much, so.
Let me just give you an example. I can actually put Full Metal Alchemist in this category, too.
Go ahead.
Fairy Tail. Netflix only had the first one season. Hulu had the other seven.
So a much better selection on Hulu.
Full Metal Alchemist on Netflix. Didn't have all the episodes. Left me off on a cliffhanger. Not happy with that.
Yes.
Hulu, had everything else.
With commercials?
don't even care. It was so worth it. God. You have no idea how much I love Full Metal Alchemist.
Like, they're all, like, there's another show that I have been loving watching on Hulu. Like this is a show that I had been watching since it first came out, since it is an amazing show. I really have to hand it to the creators of the show and the company that made it, Cartoon Network. I really have to hand it to them. They really did so good on this. The show is Amazing World of Gumball. You can see the first... see the first three seasons on Hulu. And it's really... You can keep ahead with the newest episodes of Amazing World of Gumball. But if you want to see the old episodes that, like, they never put out anymore, even though they are hilarious, this is the episode of Sweaters.
Oh my God, you're obsessed with that episode. Everybody that comes in who's not an adult, Max has to pull them to the side and say, listen, there's a show called The Amazing World of Gumball, and there's an episode called The Sweater. I'm going to hit the play button. You just sit here.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Trapped. And another thing about Hulu, if there's, like, a running TV show, it'll, like, bring the TV shows on. It'll update itself. Unlike Netflix, if there's something not on Netflix, you have to wait, like, 2 years for it to go, for, like, the first season of it to go on. Or at least for the season to finish.
Netflix is still the superior platform, but yeah, there's no commercials. Now.
Oh, you want to know Netflix commercials? Wait. Commercials are occasionally good. You know, want to know why?
Why?
Take Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., for example. This is, something really good like that. There are really good moments in it, and, like, you really want to say something, and then you wait till the commercial break, so,
Sweet.
You can say, like, oh my God, this happened, I need to talk about this, this is so cool.
That's what the pause button is for.
No one needs to break the mood like that. You want commercials.
Commercials don't break the mood?
No.
Oh my goodness.
They're usually put in once everything's over, you can start talking. If you put the pause on it, it's like, oh, you paused it. I was really getting into it.
I will concede there's a certain logic to that point. So, the thing that I wanted to talk about before you got us off on a discussion of commercials, Alex, was...
You're welcome.
I'm being facetious. I'm the one that started that. So,
There's
a lot of stuff that's been coming on, both Hulu and Netflix, that you guys have been watching that kind of makes me chuckle. Number one on that list is The Animaniacs.
Because I love that TV show.
You guys are discovering what made the 80s so great. I'm sorry, this was not 80s, this was 90s. Made the 90s so great for so many of us, and that was the Warner Brothers animation.
Rediscovering it.
Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, and of course...
God, I loved Pinky and the Brain.
Part of that whole cadre. Max, are you familiar with Freakazoid?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God.
Yes,
Pinky and the Brain and Freakazoid were my favorite.
Freakazoid was brilliant.
Freakazoid was awesome.
Freakazoid and the Tick. Probably the best superhero comedy.
Oh my God!
Ever.
Yes.
Ever.
So great.
Full Animaniacs. It's rediscovering.
That's right. Because you guys were a little familiar with the Animaniacs, but now you're really delving in. Alex, tell me what makes the Animaniacs so great. Because it's interesting to me. It's 20 years old. How is it that you guys are still enjoying?
Fourth wall breaking.
You cannot be interested in a Bill Clinton cameo. You barely know who Bill Clinton is. Go ahead.
Fourth wall breaking.
Yeah.
Reference making. Comedy to the max.
Okay.
My favorite type of animated joke where they can just, like, randomly pull stuff out of behind their backs for whatever they need in the situation. Big fan of that. Like, they can, like, pull out a wooden mallet or something. I love that. And they're cartoon characters, so if there's, like, an episode where, like, the psychiatrist says, plant yourselves on the couch, you'll, like, see them, like, go fum fum fum, and they grow up like flowers with their faces. I love that.
And, like,
it's awesome.
And then the psychiatrist said, I take offense. They pull a fence out of it, and then
it's like, oh, now you want our fence too, huh? And it's just, like, screwing with other people by, like, A, taking them literally, and then, like, doing it literally, or B, being, like, really sarcastic, or, like, C, just outsmarting the really stupid people.
Mm-hmm. So, now, one of the things that you mentioned was references. Do you really get the references?
Yeah, I actually get some of the actor references.
So, what are some of the references that you got?
I have to think.
Well, I got the Porky, like, in the first episode, there was the Porky the Pig reference, and the biggest, hello, Mr. Biggest Star in Hollywood, and, like, the Hollywood, like, hey, anyone would get a Porky the Pig reference that they have in there,
mm-hmm.
like, hey, like, that's literally,
the reference for the guy who was all, like, pretty lady, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the guy that's all pretty lady. What's that guy's name?
I completely forget, but
really... Yeah, and why is he important?
Because I saw Frugasoid do an impersonation.
Two references building on each other that you still don't understand.
I like it, though. It's funny.
That's what's intriguing to me, is that I know why that's funny. I'm not going to dispute that it's funny. It's a funny voice, it's funny mannerisms.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Okay, why is that important?
Because as funny-ish as that voice is, it's really creepy.
Yeah, but you're making my point. That's a famous movie quote from a movie that everybody in the 90s watched. How is it that it still resonates with you, even though you have no idea what they're talking
because
about.
Because I can tell it's a really, like, old reference.
Yeah.
And I can laugh at it because I know it's supposed to be funny.
That, and by the way, I'm not laughing at you. It just delights me that something can be funny because it's supposed to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing to me.
My favorite...
Very Afraid was from the movie Aliens. So... We're gonna.
Knew it.
We've pulled up to school. All your friends are in the schoolyard, waving and waiting for you guys to join them. So let's bring this one to a close. We can pick up where we left off. We'll make this a two-parter, and we'll pick up tomorrow with Animaniacs and give them a little tease. What else are you watching on Netflix?
Avengers Assemble.
The West Wing.
Oh God, we gotta talk about.
We
the
just
West
watched
Wing.
Princess and the Bride
and
too.
The Princess Bride. Not Princess and the Bride. That was a very different movie. So, Alex, bring her in for a landing.
Speaking for myself, my brother, and my dad, goodbye, everybody. You can find us on iTunes, the Blueberry Network, and Stitcher.
See y'all later. Let's get this show off the road.
Don't forget to rate and leave a friendly comment.
This is a friendly voice, people.
Okay, bye.